Welcome to our Gamekeepers Welfare Trust podcast. The Gamekeepers Welfare Trust exists for gamekeepers, stalkers and gillies, past and present, and their families.
Welcome to the first podcast of our new series. We are featuring a varied programme with different subjects of interest, and in this first podcast, a discussion around education and training with John Clark of the NGO, Curtis Mossop, BASC, and Brian Sweeney of Askham Brown College, which was held at the National Shooting Show recently. We hope you enjoy the show. And we're going to discuss today, just a little bit, while we're all here together, about education and training in gamekeeping in 2024 and onwards. And we're here with John Clark from the NGO, who's going to start us off, Brian Sweeney from Askham Brian, and Curtis Mossop, who is head of...
Education
Pathways, isn't it, for BASC.
Hi, I'm John Clark. If we're talking about, you know, how do we get young people into the profession of gamekeeping and what problems there are to facilitate that. Things have changed very quickly in recent times on how young people get into this profession, and it's not been made easy by the changes in the education system and what's out there. So I think there's some really big questions that we need to be asking and some challenges ahead to make sure that we've got the right people coming through from school, from colleges, that are going to fulfil the underkeeper roles and make the headkeepers and the professional land managers of the future. Now, how we do that is a real tough ask, and hopefully Brian may be able to, and Curtis may be able to shed some light on what pathways we can take.
Hi, I'm Brian Sweeney. I'm a course manager in Land and Wildlife Management Gamekeeping at Askham Brown College. Presently, there are a number of routes into gamekeeping in the FE sector, level 3 taught courses in college, level 3 or level 2 taught courses, and the final one is a level 2 pathway through an apprenticeship as an underkeeper. I think those courses do offer training at the moment. However, in the time that I've been doing those courses, due to changes in central funding, we now do not have students coming out of those courses with a range of practical tickets that make them very, very useful to the industry. The level 2 apprenticeship route still does have those tickets built into it. And I think that's a weakness in what we have. The other thing to say about our present courses is, yeah, they're useful, and it's good that the students are doing them, and it's good that the estates realise that there is a value in those courses. However, they're getting a little bit long in the tooth. They need to evolve because the industry has evolved. They need to have something else in them. And I think that's the stumbling block we've got to at the moment. So, Curtis, out.
Yeah, so I think there's an issue at the moment is the current courses, as Brian says, they are due to be defunded. So there's a skills bill, which is a government skills bill, came out several years ago now, which essentially looked to condense all of the level 3 and level 2 options at colleges down from multi-thousands to less thousands. And what they'd identified is this, or they perceived as a huge gap. And what they did, they reviewed them all and essentially created a new suite called T-Levels. And they're a bit of a hybrid of what we know as currently as a full-time course, but also merged that with significant employer engagement, or that was the thought process. Sadly, when all that consultation came out, I think in 2021, first off, we noticed that within the T-level framework, there was absolutely no gamekeeping, wildlife management, land management of any description. It had all been removed. Well, I say removed, it just hadn't been put in. They'd had this kind of computer says no moment of going ahead with courses, taking the current kind of conservation element forward, but actually not taking the fisheries or wildlife management / gamekeeping elements forward. as you'd expect, we kicked a bit of a stink up about it, and yeah, it's taken quite a long time, but eventually we got IFET, who the Institute for Apprenticeships and Technical Education, to sit up and realise that what they'd done wasn't the right thing, and the cost they were trying to take forward was actually, and to quote me on that at the time, was woefully inadequate. It had no mention of wildlife management in any capacity. There's no mention about mink and waterfowl, not even kind of gamekeeping, releasing of pheasants and the grouse stuff. It wasn't even to that extent. There was literally nothing of any wildlife management at all, which is kind of shocking, really. So we kind of worked really hard, and we actually got them to stop it, which is very good. So they are now not taking forward the habitat management TDEL, which is a good thing. But that also puts us in a bit of a predicament, because as of 25-26, all the current courses are going to be defunded. That is happening. It's in the skills bill. And it's now a bit of a race against time to get the new qualifications developed, of which, again, we've pushed for and we've had some movement on, which is very, very good. So at the moment, I'm writing a level 2 full-time course, so for college courses. And that's going to be hopefully submitted by September, ready for approval and delivery when the other courses are defunded. But that has set a bit of a precedent in a good way. They're now realising, so this is Sitting Gills, Department for Education and IFET, they're now realising that, yes, we do need level 3. And so they're going to use this premise. So it's a bit of a call to arms, really, I think, for everybody. Any employers that are interested in any capacity in the way in our sector is going to look in the future. We need you to get in contact with John Clark from the NGO, get in contact with me from Basque. And what we need to do, we need to clear all those people that want to have an interest, to have a stake in it, to stick the hand up, because essentially we need to put together an employer proposed course. There's a bit of a backstory in it, and it'll bore the pants off you if it went into it. But essentially, we can't progress the level 3 course at this moment because there's no apprenticeship framework at level 3. So what we have to do, we have to show the government, essentially, that there is a need for a level 3 course, and we need employers to basically stick the hand up. It's all fine, well, BAS doing it and NGO doing it, and us doing it in silo, we need the sector as a whole to actually say, yes, we need courses. So it's something that's going to develop quite quickly in the next few weeks and months. So yeah, anybody's interested, please do get in contact, and then we'll be able to forward some details on about how you do that. It's probably going to be as simple as emailing a contact, which we can provide, say that you absolutely fully support it, and that's about it. There's no more than that, but we just need to demonstrate that that kind of need from the sector, which I think there is, as John and Brian have both articulated. What we've got now, I think, again, we've had it for a number of years. I've taught it myself. Brian still teaches it. And I've had John in to see my students when I used to teach it. So we've all seen how this has progressed over the last few years. And, yeah, we've reached a point where it's not quite suitable for the sector. The sector's developed. It's moved on. I think now we've got an opportunity to build new courses. And this is a great time to kind of go from the ground up, really.
Thank you, Curtis. And where does the Welfare Trust come in? Well, the Welfare Trust, we get lots of inquiries from parents, from students, from people who want to enter gamekeeping, where it can be studied, how it's studied, what the costs are. We do have some grants available for education and for training, whether it's for someone who has been in the job and doesn't have all the certificates, or whether it's for people who want to take another career path. But things have changed so much. We've all seen it as we've progressed, haven't we? How things have changed so much. And would you like to comment on that, John?
Yeah, I think, excuse me, I think one concern is when I started out keepering in 1984, and I was really confident that I'd retire in the keepering job. And to be fair, if I'd have stuck as head keeper, I'd probably still be there now and I would retire. But there's probably a slight concern as to whether the younger generation feel that that job will still be there for when they retire. And I think that's what Curtis's job and my job and BAS job, NGO jobs are, to make sure that we're doing the lobbying and the representation of the good that gamekeepers do, to make sure that job's there and that we're getting young people that want to be gamekeepers and are coming into it as a long-term profession. And that's really important. That's really I know it's Curtis's passion, so it's my passion and Brian's passion, is to make sure that these young people have had the jobs and lifestyles that we've all had and experienced.
Yeah,
and that's what our fight is.
Yeah, and I think equally, I think our countryside needs good gamekeepers.
Exactly, yeah.
Our countryside is the quality it is because we have good gamekeepers and have had good gamekeepers who are skilled, knowledgeable, understand their job, but also understand the countryside. And if we don't have the right educational frameworks in place that passes on those skills, knowledge, and embedded behaviours, then we are going to be weaker for it. And the industry wants them. The industry wants good young keepers. They want people, the jobs are there. And we need to have a method that allows those people to be trained and inspired and enthusiastic about going into this industry, because it's a good industry to get into if you are the right person for it.
And that is the crux of it, the right person for it. And there is some criticism around the table and beyond about those people that may not be as passionate as they should or could be. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it is long hours. It is hard graft, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think, and to take John's point, I think it's a responsibility of us all to get more people interested in shooting in a wider context, because ultimately we are over 500,000 certificate holders versus a population of 70 million or whatever we are. So I think we all have to work harder to get more people into shooting, understanding it better. Then equally, that then will hopefully roll into people wanting to see jobs. As again, I look at my little boy now. Again, at the moment, he's nearly eight. Again, at the moment, he loves the outdoors, but the way schools are, the way things have progressed over the last 10, 15 years, everything's technology-based. Lots of the advice and careers that are being promoted to young people is about the technology sector. It's about IT and how AI can be doing. Actually, as John and Brian both said, I mean, two-thirds of the landmass of the UK is managed for shooting. We are only a small number, admittedly, but we will look after the vast majority of this countryside. And without those kind of youngsters getting into it in a wider context, and then those ones, the really passionate ones, as Helen said, you've got to be passionate. As we all know, that cliche, it's not a job. It really isn't. It's a lifestyle. And it's very true. It is difficult, but equally, it's very rewarding. I think we've got to have those youngsters coming in. So we all owe it to everybody, owes it to each other and the kind of sector to bring more people in.
If I can just mirror what everyone else is saying, the countryside does need managing. You know, I don't want to mention the rewilding word, but that, you know, this country, this landscape is like this because of the management that's taken place, and we can't forget that. And we need good people coming through. And again, this is our job to make sure that their jobs are safe and secure.
Yeah, I just heard quite an interesting example of that, where if you consider an iceberg, and the iceberg that you actually see is this wonderful countryside that we have that is managed, but is underpinned underneath by all this hard work that the keepers and countryside managers do. On another note, I remember you speaking, Brian, last year, and saying what excitement there is around the technology and how that can be applied in gamekeeping.
Yeah,
all sorts of ways now.
Yeah, I think that comes back to what we need in a new college qualification. Gamekeeping, like every other industry in the UK, evolves as technology evolves, and it embraces technology as well. So we now had keepers using drones, they use GPS, they've got various surveillance systems, they've got some very interesting kit that they drive around in that they've never had before. And that just adds to their jobs. And it's getting the right young people into the industry. They will embrace that stuff so easily and so quickly because it's just part of their everyday lives. Some of us at this table maybe less so because we've been around for a little while, but those kids will embrace that sort of technology. And I think the other extension of that is, I think modern young keepers also have to take pride in the fact that they are important conservationists, habitat managers. Basically, they are the custodians of our countryside alongside a lot of other people who are not gamekeepers, but they they provide an incredibly important role. And I think that's part of the reason for getting into it, and that's part of the passion for it and part of the vocation for it. Yeah, there's all the day job stuff for looking after birds and feeding, and if you're a fisheries person, looking after your river systems, or even for that, a stalker looking after whatever forests you're involved in. But it's all one big holistic package in terms of making the countryside better and keeping the quality we already have. And they are, yeah, they're one piece in a bigger framework, but they're an incredibly important piece. Yeah, I truly believe that.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I think we, whilst everything feels like it's against us, I think the thing, again, if you are a mother, a father, an auntie, uncle, whoever you've got, and you've got a young person, is interesting. I think the thing is that the message, it's still very much open. I don't want people to think this, oh my God, my potential career all sounds really good. It's not, because we're working very hard. The organisations are working very, very hard across a huge, huge battlefront of all kinds of this issue directly, but also the wider stuff of engaged with ministers and government bodies to try and tell them what shooting is, what wildlife management is. But yeah, if you're sat at home thinking, I want to be a gamekeeper, absolutely go for it. Don't let it put you off. Courses will still be funded for the next couple of years, and like I said, we're working really hard to get new courses done, and they will have to be done for that point. So there won't actually be any kind of obvious transition at all, really. For someone that's 13, 14 now, thinking about it in a few years' time, you won't notice a difference. That's the hope and that's the plan, because we're all going to work hard and we're all going to do our day jobs to make sure that happens. But yeah, I just don't want people sat there thinking, oh, gamekeeping is all coming to end, the course aren't coming to end. It's absolutely not the case. There's colleges all over the country. And again, full-time, and I've spoken very much about full-time, you've got apprenticeships as well. Apprenticeships are the other fantastic way to get into gamekeeping, again, getting to gamekeeping directly. The modern apprenticeship's just been rewritten up in Scotland, and the one in England's probably due for renewal, a review renewal fairly soon as well. So again, it's always been adapted. So yeah, if you want to do it, absolutely do it.
And the countryside is always going to need to be managed.
It is, yeah. And we never stop learning, do we?
No.
Any of us.
No.
We're always learning. And this is something that we say all the time to those who are maybe further on their careers and at a transition stage, is that gamekeeping and associated professions, there are so many skills involved, aren't there? Be proud of it.
Yeah.
Be really proud of what you do. And it is transferable to all sorts of other professions as well, if you so wish, or that opportunity arises, as you know, John, and as you know, Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and we were speaking just before we started recording, I think the bit is the additional qualification stuff. It's training the NGO and the BASC and lots of the people off. It's that extra bolt-ons, it's your courses, but it's all that stuff that helps you get that job. But then equal, as Helen just said, it's continued learning. Even after you've got your job, that doesn't mean you stop getting courses. Legislation changes, techniques change, everything changes, and we're not a fantastic sector at continuous professional development, actually, in keeping doing stuff. We do tend to kind of get in our own little world. And I was guilty of it, got my job up in Scotland, and I just kind of forgot everything else, and you don't actually keep up to date unless someone gives you a really good kick and a prod. So, do you know this is changing? It's like the trapping regulations a few years ago, isn't it? The spring trap proved a lot of change, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, people are having to get told at shows like we're at today that these changes are coming, because people have got busy lives, they don't always keep up to date with things. But yeah, it's training in the physical sense of going to college, having your apprenticeship, but it's also all that extra stuff as well to keep you current, and again the financial side of it can be quite burdensome, but then there's help out there such as the GWT to help you with that.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for taking your time out on a busy day at the shooting show, which you didn't really have time to give. So thank you very much, all of you.
It's a break from the blazing sunshine.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking us.
Cheers, Anne. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this GWT podcast. Keep up with us on Facebook, X, and Insta. See you next time.